Next case, please.
Case number 11506, VRNS 2 LLC, at intersection southwest of DuPont Boulevard, U.S. Route 113, northeast of Haney Road, Road 337. 911 address 28880 DuPont Boulevard, Millsboro, Delaware. Identified as tax map ID number 233-5.00-99.00. Requesting a special use exception to place an off-premise sign and a variance from the required separation requirement from a dwelling.
Well, I believe, Mr. Chairman, didn't we ask if there was any violations for them to? Did the office come back with any information on that?
My understanding is the zoning inspector did visit the liquor store in reference to the numerous signage out front, and my understanding is it has been cleaned up.
It's been cleaned up, the violation?
Yes.
Okay, they're no longer in violation, right? Okay. I believe Mr. Mills also gave him an idea that he could have an on-premise sign, right?
He'll have one.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember his reaction, his answer to that. I can't remember that. That maybe he doesn't need it. You know, he's understanding that he can't advertise his business there,
right,
with an off-premise sign, with a billboard.
Right.
You explained that.
But he could give it, I don't remember what his answer was to you, John.
Man, I can't. Do you remember, John?
What he said to you when you asked him if he wanted an on-premise sign for his business?
I think I just mentioned it. I don't know that.
It was a direct question.
Yeah, it wasn't a question or anything.
Okay.
But I think it was clearly understood that there was plenty of violations and then that wasn't acceptable.
Right, right. So we got that cleaned up.
And then again, you say they're all cleaned up, Kelly?
Yes.
To satisfaction.
Okay.
Can we ask if there's any vacant signs there around that area?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, I believe they said they had these, this one running.
This one was running.
Okay. Yeah. I do believe it was said.
And this building is going to be removed at some point in time, isn't it? This old building?
Old house back there.
No. It was the building.
But yes,
it
right.
was the abandoned structure behind it, which would have made the variance necessary.
Right.
Right.
But they didn't know when Delmarva Power was going to remove that building, okay. So that's why they wanted the variance.
The variance, okay.
Yeah, that was, I think, that's what right. triggered the need for the variance. It's
okay.
It's classified as residential
right.
structure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, was
that being done? You cleaned it up.
Well, it certainly is refreshing to just see that we're going to abide by the ordinance without too many variances. And I believe he only needs one variance here. That's that 125 feet from the 300. And that's understandable based on the applicant's description of that building, what it was, and what... So based on what I've heard and what I've seen and what they've done here and cleaned up the area, I believe we've done a good job there, planning and zoning. So based on the information presented to us, so as far as the standards for granting a variance, I believe the uniqueness of the property has been discussed by the applicant, and there is a uniqueness to that area that they're involved, that this is involved in, and the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property, as so stated. The unnecessary hardship and exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. That building is there, and I don't believe they're 125 feet. It may not be there too long, and the variance will not alter the central character of the neighborhood. And the requested variance is the minimum that will afford relief. And the special use exception, there's a special use exception will not substantially affect adversely uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. The applicant has testified to that. And it's all surrounded by businesses in that area also. So with that, I make a motion that we approve case number 11506.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
I have one quick question.
Oh, sure.
Have we in the past that ever stipulated, or can we, that, and I know it was an issue about whether the county actually had the ability to do it, to link our approval on something with the billboard being rented, to be sure that it was going to be rented and not vacant?
I think that was
done that ever.
I mean, I don't.
I don't think there's anything in the ordinance, is there, Mr. Sharp?
I don't believe there is anything in the ordinance on that. The board is allowed to put conditions on special exceptions. That one gets a little enforcement on that becomes a little challenging, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Amy, can that be changed? Or the county gonna do that? County.
I think that would be something that should come at a council level with an ordinance if they were going to be doing that. And that probably would be something you want the planning and zoning office in that discussion, because then you're starting to get into, is it rented or is it not rented? And, they've got vote for somebody signed 7 months after the election ended. Is it still, is it really leased out or not?
Yeah.
Well, you already got a motion on the floor.
No, I made that motion.
Yeah, so I mean, I got to get a second to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I get a second?
Yeah, do I have a second to that motion?
You second. Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Ricker and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 11506. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Ricker?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11506 is approved. Okay, gentlemen, that takes care of all of the regular business and the old business. That one case has been re-advertised, and it'll be on 2-15.
Mr. Chairman.
There being...
Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
2-2-15. Well, here's got 2.
2-2.
Yeah, 2-2. Should be 2-3, right?
2-2.
Yeah, 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah, the next after 16.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, there.
Okay. Are there anybody have anything to offer? Jenny, anything? Kelly? Okay, any member?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
I'd like to make a motion that we have Mr. Sharp compose a letter to County Council requesting that they take a look at our sign ordinance. Again, due to the increase in businesses and how the county is growing. I believe some of these, if you looked at it the way it is now, if you started at Nassau Bridge and you went right on up to Milford, every 300 feet, and if they met the 25-foot setback and the 300-foot separation and all this, you would be able to put billboards all the way up to Milford if there wasn't any reason why.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the only reason. I think that the ordinance should be fine-tuned.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some wall signs that need to be looked at, but they're taken over. So I'd like to ask Mr. Sharp to compose a letter to County Council and have the members sign that. I believe we need that. Now, anyone disagree with that?
Gentlemen, how do you?
I guess I'm not clear on what you're...
I want them to look at the sign ordinance.
Sign ordinance.
The whole sign ordinance.
doesn't mean they'll do it, but.
Oh, I think there's a good chance they will.
Mr. Redding, how do you feel?
I'm okay with that.
Mr. Werber?
Okay with the look at it.
Well, see if we need to make some adjustments. They'll probably talk to zoning department, which they will, and they'll sit down and see if there needs to be any adjustments made. Remember, we're growing and we need to get up to speed in some of these things there. Every time I see a billboard come, or an off-premise sign come on here, we make so many adjustments on it that, and of course they do meet the standards and they present them, but when you find out that if you go back and pull some statistics, you're going to find out that we always have a variance. I've never seen a sign yet that didn't have a variance, and that's what county council wanted to do in those days. He wanted, when they wrote the sign ordinance, they wanted it to stay at the 300 square feet, and they wanted it, you know, the 25 foot, whatever the off-premise sign says, doesn't hang over 300 square feet.
Right.
And I feel that they should look at something like maybe it, anything over 600 square feet, there should be more of a setback. There should be more, this is my opinion, that's all.
Right.
Or it should be looked at maybe on a highway, a dual highway or something, where the height might come into play there, where they might.
Mr. Rickard, what I might suggest is, because this isn't an agenda item,
yeah,
that perhaps what we do is I'll draft that letter.
Yes.
I doubt I'll have it ready for the next meeting, but perhaps we could put it on as an agenda item for the second meeting in February, and then that could be something to discuss at that time.
Yeah, because I.
Because then that could have a letter that you all could look at and comment and.
Explain right. It a little bit better.
Yeah.
Content it.
Sure.
So we agree with it and everything else.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. That'd be February the 16th then.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. Each time I notice sometimes when Mr. When you say, do you have any blank or billboards, okay? When you say that.
Have you got a film?
Right.
You got it.
Right. Well, that's a good question, but I don't think that we, even if they don't, even if we look at it and they don't and they say no, we or they say yes, we do, okay? I don't think we can enforce that. I don't think it's in the
ordinance.
In the ordinance. So we can put a policy. I know Lawrence can come up with a policy where he can put when they take that applicant, if this is for the board, look, think about it. When they take that application, they can say, you know, well, you make sure there's no other vacant billboards in there and sign that also.
What's other vacant billboards got to do with if I want one?
Well,
I might be a better salesman. I just don't, to be able to, well, be able may, to put build advertising.
I think you may have to explain it a little better why you want it there when there's all these other billboards there, and if you have a variance 300 square feet, I mean, you know, 300 feet from another billboard.
Right. But I'm saying, I guess my point is, I want to put a billboard up.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have it rented. Because I'm not going to waste $100,000
right.
on a billboard.
Right.
So, yeah, I can rest assured I don't know about the others, and I don't know, you know, why they're not rented, but mine will be rented.
Well, there's people that don't, that have the money to speculate into that.
But, what I mean, just because others don't have theirs rented, why should I be denied mine?
I think, gentlemen, this is the kind of discussion that we better have when we have it as an agenda item. Because... We don't want to stray too far on something that's not on the agenda.
Okay, my last question. When you swear somebody in here, okay, is there anything we can do if you know they are not telling us the truth?
The board and its decision making, and this is something that's case law has abundant case law on this. If you don't find someone to be credible, you can make that finding. You know, I don't find somebody's testimony credible. You are a fact finder.
Okay.
It's much like a judge could go in and say, yes, you've testified that the sky is red.
But I don't believe it.
But I don't believe it.
Okay.
So it becomes a, and you have this a lot. You'll have witnesses that come in that testify one way and others that testify another.
Right.
And what you're charged with doing is weighing that testimony and then coming up with a determination as to who's more credible, who's more persuasive, and who do you believe. And in some ways, it may not be either one.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that, and it, I think it's appropriate when you're going through your analysis to say that, you know, that I found the testimony of, you know, like if we have competing experts, say I find the testimony of so-and-so more credible than the testimony of this person.
So the enforcement, which John has talked through a lot, can you enforce this, comes out of the zoning department. In other words, if we say, we are grant a 40-foot height, let's just say, for instance, and the guy goes up 45. And they find out, or any instance that we've approved something, and they get out there and they find out that I don't think there's any way that we can tell that unless we see it ourselves. I mean, I don't.
So it goes to the zoning department and their enforcement capabilities, and these two ladies here would be, very able to describe the trials and tribulations that they have on a day-to-day basis with enforcement.
I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of what they have, but I said, is there anything we can do? I mean, we don't want to get in. If we found something that wasn't right, or we knew something that wasn't right.
I think, you know, you could always bring that to planning and zoning's attention for them to, as an individual.
All right.
I don't know collectively as a board that's something that this board should be. I think that's outside the bounds of what the board's.
I know that. But what I'm asking is if they're lying, is there anything that we can do? You're just saying that if we suspect that they're lying, that's the only thing we can do?
Yeah. You don't have to.
Because I hear, you know, getting.
Question their credibility. Ask them.
Are you lying?
No. I believe I've seen it. I've seen the structure or whatever, and I don't believe that your testimony is true. Convince me otherwise.
And this has never happened. Since I've been on the board, I've never heard that happen. So that's the reason I'm asking.
We have certainly had conflicting testimony during cell phone tower applications.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, you know, in my opinion, you have to discern in your own mind whether who you're believing, who you're not believing.
Right.
Okay. And I think that's an important component of what you gentlemen do. I think it's important that when you're making your decisions and you're discussing it, that you go through that analysis on the record. I think that's a vital component to showing an appealing party, you know, if a court were to look at this, how you came to your decision. And that's a very important part.
And it's, I don't like another, it gets to be just a routine or a formality, but I put a lot of credence in when Jamie swears them in. I mean, when I'm sworn in, I believe something when I say I do to him. And when he does that, when our attorney does that, I believe that these people should, and you'll hear what I say once in a while. I'll say to him, you remember, you're under oath, just to verify that. And like I say, I guess our enforcement is going to have to come out of the zoning department, and that's tough to do.
Yep.
Very tough to do. We don't have enough people to do it anyway. But anyway, so you want to put this on the agenda, the
16th.
Yeah, we'll put it on there for the 16th. That'll also give us time to properly notice it, because next week, it's a short week. And then I'll work on a letter so that you all can look at it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the time.
If there's nothing else, we're open for adjournment.
We're going to move.
Have a second to that motion?
Yeah. Have a second.
Okay. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting is 7 to call. Gentlemen, be safe. Go home.